and when it reflects upon its mortality, and understands that man was born for the purpose of fulfilling his life, and that the body is not a permanent dwelling, but a sort of inn, with a brief sojourn at that, which is to be left behind when one perceives that one is a burden to the host. The greatest proof, as I maintain, my dear Lucilius, that the soul proceeds from loftier heights is if it judges its present situation lowly and narrow, and is not afraid to depart. For he who remembers whence he has come knows whither he is to depart. Do we not see how many discomforts drive us wild, and how ill-assorted is our fellowship with the flesh? We complain at one time of our headaches, at another of our bad digestions, at another of our hearts and our throats. Sometimes the nerves trouble us, sometimes the feet. Now it is diarrhea, and again it is catarrh. We are at one time full-blooded, at another anemic. Now this thing troubles us, now that, and bids us move away. It is just what happens to those who dwell in the house of another. But we, to whom such corruptible bodies have been allotted, nevertheless set eternity before our eyes, and in our hopes grasp at the utmost space of time to which the life of man can be extended, satisfied with no income and with no influence. What can be more shameless or foolish than this? Nothing is enough for us, though we must die some day, or rather are already dying. For we stand daily nearer the brink, and every hour of time thrusts us on towards the precipice over which we must fall. See how blind our minds are. What I speak of, as in the future, is happening at this minute, and a large portion of it has already happened, for it consists of our past lives. But we are mistaken in fearing the last day, seeing that each day, as it passes, counts just as much to the credit of death. The failing step does not produce, it merely announces weariness. The last hour reaches, but every hour approaches death. Death wears us away, but does not whirl us away. For this reason, the noble soul, knowing its better nature, while taking care to conduct itself honorably and seriously at the post of duty where it is placed, counts none of these extraneous objects as its own, but uses them as if they were alone, like a foreign visitor hastening on his way. When we see a person of such steadfastness, how can we help being conscious of the image of a nature so unusual, particularly if, as I remarked, it was shown to be true greatness by its consistency? It is indeed consistency that abides. False things do not last. Some men are like Vatinius, or like Cato by turns. At times they do not think even Curius stern enough, or Fabricius poor enough, or Tubero sufficiently frugal and contented with simple things. While, at other times, they vie with Licinus in wealth, with Apicius in banqueting, or with Mycenas in daintiness. The greatest proof of an evil mind is unsteadiness, and continued wavering between pretense of virtue and love of vice. He'd have sometimes 200 slaves at hand, and sometimes 10. He'd speak of kings and grand moguls, and naught but greatness. Then he'd say, "Give me a 3-legged table, and a tray of good clean salt, and just a coarse wove gown to keep the cold out." If you paid him down, so sparing and content, 1,000,000 cool, in 5 short days, he'd be a penceless fool. The men I speak of are of this stamp. They are like the men whom Horatius Flaccus describes, a man never the same, never even like himself. To such an extent does he wander off into opposites. Did I say many are so? It is the case with almost all. Everyone changes his plans and prayers day by day. Now he would have a wife, and now a mistress. Now he would be king, and again he strives to conduct himself so that no slave is more cringing. Now he puffs himself up until he becomes unpopular. Again, he shrinks and contracts into greater humility than those who are really unassuming. At one time he scatters money, at another he steals it. That is how a foolish mind is most clearly demonstrated. It shows first in this shape, and then in that, and is never like itself, which is, in my opinion, the most shameful of qualities. Believe me, it is a great role to play the role of one man. But nobody can be one person except the wise man. The rest of us oft